Last night, Democrats in the U.S. Senate reached an agreement on a $3.5 trillion budget reconciliation package that includes a number of items that didn't make the cut in a more traditional infrastructure framework. That proposed bipartisan infrastructure agreement, negotiated in part by Arizona Senator Kyrsten Sinema, would spend $1.2 trillion on items like roads and bridges and public transit. The Wharton School, via its Penn Wharton budget model, has analyzed what the impact of the bipartisan infrastructure agreement would be. John Huntley is a senior economist with Wharton, and he joins me. John, the model is showing the overall effect on GDP being far less than even 1%. So is this actually significant?
The fact is that infrastructure is around for a very, very long time, decades, in fact. It takes a while to get going, but once it's there for several decades. And so that small effect is actually added up over a large number of years. And in the end, that actually adds up to a significant amount of money or a significant economic effect, totaling hundreds of billions of dollars worth of additional GDP.
That's intriguing to me because, of course, one of my questions is economic impact, whether it's more beneficial short term, less so in the long term. It sounds like what you're saying is it's clearly better in the long term.
Absolutely. I mean, according to the Congressional Budget Office, when they did an analysis a couple of years ago, they showed what the effects were, how long it took to build and pay for all of this new infrastructure. And the fact is, for your typical suite of infrastructure programs, no one in particular, but overall, it takes a very long time for most infrastructure to get up and running and being productive. So the economic effects are typically delayed by, years, if not decades. But then once they're there for a very, very long time, because an infrastructure is giving returns year after year, as long as it's available and still working.
Well, let me ask you about this phrase then. I guess this was not a new phrase in the Obama administration, but it seemed like we heard it a lot then, the whole so-called shovel-ready projects. And that was supposed to give the economy a shot in the arm, I think, more immediately. Does that still apply to something like this? If this deal were to go through, would there be some sort of shot in the arm initially?
We're thinking that the shot in the arm probably isn't as effective for this program. Most of the programs that they're talking about are things that haven't been, that aren't in the pipeline, particularly with electric vehicles and a lot of the other, water projects. We don't know that they're necessarily shovel ready or that they're ready to go right now. The second thing is that our economy right now is growing fairly rapidly. It's been, there've been a lot of job creation lately. So we wouldn't expect the short-term effects that we might if we were, having this program come online during a recession when there's a lot of, unused resources in the economy.
And the timing you mentioned about employment growth, because employment had sunk so much during the course of the pandemic, I presume that's the connection there.
Yeah, that's right. We thought that during the pandemic, particularly during the middle of the pandemic when employment was very low, that, public infrastructure projects would have actually been able to provide some immediate economic boost. It seemed like construction was still fairly robust compared to several other sectors of the economy, like services or leisure, travel, so that additional spending in infrastructure might have actually had a more significant immediate impact on economic output. Now it's probably spread out over a much longer term. We'll still get the jobs and we'll still get the positive economic impacts, but it's probably going to be delayed for a significant amount of time.
Is there a way of measuring at this point which categories of spending in this infrastructure? I mean, there are so many things, I guess, that can be defined as infrastructure, but I was thinking about roads and bridges or airport repair versus, let's say, water infrastructure. Is there a way of measuring which would be the most impactful?
We don't have that sort of method. I mean, there are a huge number of projects. And I mean, even within each of those categories, you can see a huge amount of variation. I mean, we're all familiar with some of the old projects that made the headlines that seem particularly useless. But for each one of those, there are other ones that are particularly impactful. And so we're just sort of taking an average over a wide variety of projects. That having been said, we're measuring changes to output or changes to GDP from these projects. And there may be other benefits that we're not directly measuring in our analysis. I'm thinking particularly in terms of water infrastructure, that if we can deliver healthier water to people and improve their health and their access to public health facilities, then, we're going to see a return outside, outside the analysis that we've done in our paper here.
John, one aspect of additional spending that generally, at least in the political realm, doesn't get talked about quite as much as it was maybe a decade or two or even more ago than that, is the idea of deficit spending and whether this would create additional deficit issue. What's the balancing act there in terms of economic positive impact as opposed to maybe increasing the deficit?
Well, certainly the deficit in our analysis, we assumed that that additional government borrowing sort of crowds out private capital formation, so that, you know, for every dollar of additional government debt, there's some fraction of that is reduced in private capital. So there's a little bit, you know, there's some fraction of that is represented in smaller factories or fewer trucks or less equipment or something. And so even though we're getting a productivity boost from the public infrastructure, the additional roads and bridges, some of that is offset because we have less private capital that's producing GDP.
Certainly here in Arizona, we're thinking about a certain way, the fact that one of our senators, Kyrsten Sinema, was so heavily involved in putting this together. Would there be states that would benefit especially from this kind of thing, or is it intended to be universal, that there are projects like this all over the country?
I think it's intended partially, at least, to be universal. I mean, so previously, at least according to surface transportation authorizations like the FAST Act, is that they had a sort of a formula where they apportioned the spending among states according to the way it had been set up historically. I'm guessing that a lot of these details haven't been worked out, but I'm guessing that some of the provisions in this bill will be apportioned the same way. That having been said, there are other categories of spending, like water spending, where, you know, there isn't quite as large of a history. And so they may push towards states with greater needs. But that hasn't yet been decided, as far as I'm aware.
John Huntley is part of the Penn Wharton Budget Model Team and is a senior economist at the Wharton School.